You will be aware by now that at this time of the year, we love talking to Nigel Masters. He is the opera producer for Opera in Obourne. It's the internationally acclaimed opera festival from a very small village next door to Sherborne. And I'm very pleased to say not only is Nigel with us, but also Stephen Anthony Brown and John Cuthbert. We'll talk more to those gentlemen a little bit later on. But first of all, Nigel, welcome back to Abbey 104, yet another Opera in Obourne.
Yes, wonderful, isn't it, Andrew? We not sure how to count these things, but it sounds like 13th or 14th year even, which is amazing when we started way back. So we'll yeah, no, we're very pleased to be able to do this all again, and indeed one of the biggest yet.
And it's not an exaggeration to call it an international event because you do have singers from all around the world and it's followed internationally as well.
Certainly, we have singers all around the world. We this year, Mary Beth, I think, is coming in from Belgium, and in the past we have had people flying in from or taking part from Japan. So we can be fairly far flung, but actually we do tend to think of ourselves as much more of a community-led piece down here. But drawing on these lovely singers, very, who are very busy right across the nation and internationally.
Well, this year's performances include Tosca. Now, we must say straight away, Tosca is totally sold out. But you've also got Trouble in Tahiti, a wonderful Leonard Bernstein piece, and Silent Movies. We'll talk more about Silent Movies in a moment. But I think, first of all, let's talk about Trouble in Tahiti. Stephen, you are the director for that particular production. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a really marvelous piece. We had an idea a few years ago to do a short work on the Saturday afternoon, just to make more of a festival of opera in Obourne, I think, and to use that Saturday afternoon when normally we all have a bit of time off. But we thought instead that we'd start by doing sort of read-throughs of operas, and then they became a little bit more short operas, that is, one-act operas, and then they became a bit more ambitious. And this is probably our most ambitious yet. It's the biggest cast, certainly. Trouble in Tahiti is a one-act opera by Leonard Bernstein. It's written in the 1950s and is very much in that style on stage. It's a very sort of stylish piece. But don't let that confuse you. It's actually a very, very hard-hitting drama, actually. It's a rather sad piece at heart about a couple who have stopped communicating with each other within their marriage. And it explores essentially human relationships and marriage and what it is to function individually as a couple. The whole thing is sort of punctuated by a sort of, well, I hesitate to say Greek chorus because they're actually a jazz trio that appear on the radio or on the TV in the background pretty much the whole way through. I think the households will have these radios playing in the background, which somehow it distracts but also highlights some of the stuff that's happening inside the house and outside. Actually, we see Sam in his office, and Dinah goes to see a therapist, and it's actually a remarkable piece. And I think everybody has something to gain from it. It's actually very beautiful and quite funny in places as well.
It was first performed on the 12th of June 1952, so not that long after the Second World War. So I'm sure there were some influences in the plot there as well. But I think what's interesting for me is that so many years later, the stories of those characters are still relevant.
Yes, and in actual fact, Bernstein was commissioned to write a full-length piece, a full-act opera in the 80s, and he used Trouble in Tahiti as its basis. The whole piece appears at some point during the opera A Quiet Place, and their children, the couple's children, take part, and it actually centres around the funeral of the main male character in Trouble in Tahiti. So it appears in that full-length work as a sort of flashback. So Bernstein desperately wanted to revisit that couple and their world. I think it's a piece that was very dear to him, very special to him. And I've got to say, it contains music that's completely typical of Bernstein, but also some really, really quite wonderfully deep and reflective music as well. It's a phenomenal piece.
John, you are the musical director for the opera. Looking at Trouble in Tahiti, it's not performed that often. Is it quite important that you can keep these types of performances going so that shows like this don't get forgotten?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is the kind of actually, I think almost every year there's a sort of list of the kind of most performed operas sort of around the world that will sort of come out and it'll show all of your classic core stuff that anyone who sort of has any interest in opera will have heard of. But these pieces, I mean, they're just it's such great music and such great sort of storytelling that it deserves to be deserves to sort of stay in the canon. And yeah, it doesn't get done because one act is tricky to do in sort of if you're in a big house, you want to fill a whole evening. But it's why it's great that we've got this kind of we've got this spot as a little matinee where we can do these shorter pieces that maybe are a bit more tricky to do in a kind of bigger space in that way. And so yeah, it's a good thing to keep it going and we enjoy presenting these slightly off the beaten track pieces, I suppose.
Bernstein, to me, bridges traditional opera with maybe more modern style of musical shows. And as such, do you find that people will come to Bernstein and then think, actually, I'm going to try something a bit more traditional? And it's almost like a gateway into opera. Stephen, you're nodding.
I think that's a really fair statement, actually. Bernstein's West Side Story is the most operatic of musicals, I think. Stephen Sondheim, of course, wrote the lyrics to that. Bernstein wrote the lyrics himself to Trouble in Tahiti, which is unusual. And naturally, he's very, very, very clever with words, and he writes a very beautiful libretto for this. I'd say that. That's exactly right. Anyone who comes to see this piece might think, my goodness, Bernstein, I knew he'd written West Side Story, and he's very famous, of course, as a conductor, probably one of the top five conductors of the 20th century. But this is a really, really good opportunity to see what he was writing as a composer. It's in a sort of popular style, there's no doubt about it. The jazz trio sing jazz all the way through. But that's not the heart of the piece. That's a sort of distraction, really. I recommend anybody to come who's sort of never been to an opera. They're going to find themselves chiming very much with the story and really enjoying the music. It's very, very beautiful.
Moving away then from Trouble in Tahiti, this must be the only opera festival I can ever remember that is featuring a silent movie. No music, no singing. Well, that's not actually right, is it, John? John, tell us how you are going to bring Harold Lloyd to life.
I mean it's a great kind of venture that we started off a couple of years ago, this silent movie thing. And I think it was Nigel's idea in the first place a couple of years ago. And he sort of went, "Do you fancy doing this? Have you ever done it?" I went, second question, no. But first question, sure, why not? Let's give it a go. And sort of finding out kind of how that all works and what's one of the things that I've sort of struck upon is that much in the way that opera will have the leitmotif, that sort of famously attributed to Wagner, but all over the place. And silent movies, a lot of the time they would do the same thing. So what I'll have in front of me on the Thursday is a little I don't know, a menu, shall we call it, of little melodic fragments. And sort of each one will sort of be connected to a particular aspect of the film, whether I sort of connect one to a particular character or a particular sort of mood or whatever. And then you take those melodic fragments and you can change them and alter them and develop them. So if it's a happy little tune, you can usually quite easily turn it into something a bit more miserable for the appropriate moment, and vice versa. And sort of making things chirpy and making things a bit more downbeat. And yeah, it's sort of, and then within that, it's just sort of keep the fingers going. And see what comes out. And I'll probably come out the end of it and have absolutely no idea what I've played for the last hour of whatever.
John's incredibly modest, but actually, this is a really rare event because there aren't people doing this anymore. I mean, it used to be that every cinema had a pianist, but to be able to sit at the piano and improvise an entire score for a film based on a few tunes on a crib sheet is something that nobody else does. This is a wonderful opportunity to see something really remarkable, musically remarkable.
Yes, it has become a sort of, it's a niche interest nowadays, silent movie, and sort of, yeah, these days you sort of normally have to go to somewhere like the British Film Institute to go and see their special events. So yes, it's again, it's another thing that's just not, it's not happening all over the place in the way that it used to. So again, nice to keep these things alive and show everyone what is out there.
And I certainly hope that Nigel has built a contraption so you can come up through the floor at the beginning.
Andrew, that's a very good idea. I must work on that next
Oh
year.
no.
One of the things that we've enjoyed over the years at Oborne is that when we arrive, we'll all arrive and we'll go together up into the church where we do all the performances, apart from the opera in the park, obviously. And each year there's something new that's been added by the people in the village of gone, we had an idea and we thought you had
I rather like the
next
idea
year's
if
the
you can
word,
come up
sir.
through the floor, then maybe Tosca can disappear through it as well, because we'll have to
Oh
solve the problem of her jumping off the battlements and herself
no, the
landing
battlements
directly.
are built, Stephen. We have
Are built.
battlements in the church this year.
Looking forward to
Well, I'll give you those ideas for nothing. Thank you so
it.
much, gentlemen. It's been wonderful to talk to you. Nigel, we ought to do the business end. Now, let's concentrate on those shows where there are actually tickets available. Let's start with Trouble in Tahiti. This is at 3 o'clock on Saturday, the 9th of August. How can people get tickets for that?
Right, so our go to the website, which is all one word operainoborne.org, and follow the links there and just tap on the button that says tickets, and you'll be able to find Trouble in Tahiti. It's £20, but children are free. So if you have got a youngster who might be interested in music, this is a great place to start.
And Harold Lloyd, then, presumably the same website. How much are the tickets for that?
The tickets for that are only £10. I think this is possibly the live music bargain of the century. As you hear, you've got a fine pianist in John actually improvising somewhere between jazz and film music for an hour, and it's all of £10. And again, children are free.
And that is at 7:30 in Oborne Church on Thursday, 7th of August. So let's run through those dates once more then. Thursday, the 7th of August, the silent movie featuring Harold Lloyd, played live by John Cuthbert. That's at 7:30 in Oborne Church. Also in the church on Saturday, the 9th of August, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Trouble in Tahiti. Can I wish all three of you the very best of luck for the performances? Come back on, tell us how it went, and I might sneak along to Harold Lloyd. I'm just worried about the music you might play when I walk in, John. Thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Andrew.